So Pastor David asked some time ago to share a message with you on living intentional or living with intention. And my heart began to go, God, what do you specifically want to say to us today? For years, I used the word intentional. When I started a church, I used the word intentional. And we were going to be with intent, with purpose in everything that we are going to do. And I started to create a message, and the message looked like part of the margin series. It was having intention in your schedule and having intention. And my wife brought to my attention, why don't you speak on being intentional on the definition and how you declared it to us? And so I went, yes, that's what I know. That's what we're going to do today. So living an intentional life, living with attention. We heard last week that it's perspective. You remember Dallas sharing, if you were here, about having the right perspective, but getting up here where you can look down on the chessboard and see things correctly in the view that God has. I believe today's message, though it could be so simple, but it's so large in the scope and the purpose and the heart of God. I believe this is the heart of our Creator. This is the heart of Jesus today. It's a word. It's a word I use, but I use it because I want to be intentional to my neighbors. I want to be intentional to our community. I want to live with intention with sharing the love of Jesus. It dawned on me back in 08, 09, we were on a mission trip, me and my wife and a youth group, and we were in Ecuador. We had traveled to Ecuador and to Quito and then into the rainforest or the cloud forest of Ecuador. And if you could imagine just for a moment with me, the hills and the mountains were all green. You could look from the main road and look out and see a white building on the cliffs. And as we journeyed to this building, it was two stories, and they happened to call the room on the second floor the upper room, if you know the reference in Acts about the upper room. But we gathered there to pray with our youth group and just to seek God for a few moments and to hear a message from the missionary that was sharing and speaking to us. And he began to talk about this intention and this idea of loving our neighbors and caring for our neighbors. And it was like a light bulb that went on in our heads, in our minds, that something that we had not pondered, we had not thought about. Maybe you all sitting here were a lot smarter than I was. Maybe not. But it began to click. For me as a pastor to require and to rely upon the church and the programs we are doing and to try to draw people to our local congregation or to our local youth ministry was great and all, but what was I doing and how was I ministering to the people that lived right next door to me? Literally, it was, here's the fence, and it's like, you remember Tim Allen? It was looking over the fence just enough. That's the kind of way I started encountering our neighbor next door. It was just looking over the fence and having a conversation as he came out his door every day. We begin to have a conversation. Look at this. It's amazing. We want people to know Jesus. We want to care for our neighbors. We want to go and, as a church, provide all these things. But we have to remember there's a person right next door that might not know Jesus. See, Jesus is my passion. It's what I live for. So I'm obsessed with. I want to know him. I want to know him. Do you want to know him this morning? Maybe you're questioning that this morning. That you're going, do I know him? You were invited today by a friend, and you came because you have a relationship with a friend, and you were just doing it for their sake and to get them off your back maybe a little bit about coming to church. And you're here today, and you're hearing this message for the first time. You're hearing that God loves you, and it's our mission to love a community, to love our neighbors, to love the world. I want to illustrate this real quick with just a little rope that I have. It's a little. Oh, look, it's got knots in it. Okay. Here we go. Look at this. It just keeps going and going. We look at this orange little piece right here. And this is typical of our lives, that it's the 70 to 90 years that we live on this planet. And we strive to do so many things in our life. We strive to try to figure out, what am I supposed to do in this world? What am I called to do? How are we living? And so many of us are intentional on things that are only in this scope. They're only intentional right here. So we're intentional on finding our career path. My son is in high school. And as we sit down with the counselors, they are constantly going, well, what do you like to do? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go after graduation? What is your passion? But it's in the scope of these 70 to 90 years. We're intentional to make money. We're intentional to save money. Our 401ks, our IRAs, our whatever you're investing into. We're intentional on having a new car. Anybody like a new car? I saw somebody from the house, they posted a new car. You're intentional in having a great vehicle, a good school for your kids, intentional in educating your kids. We're intentional a lot, but a lot of the things that we have intentional stop here. And they don't go for eternal. They don't go into eternity. And instead of just going, our life stops here and we're going to press on to the career, the path, the money, the cars, the house, and that's it, I want us to begin to look at things surpassing our 70 to 90 years on this planet that go into eternity. And if we're going to do that, I believe there's a few elements in your life that you need to be very, very intentional about. You need to be intentional on a God that loves you and has called you and loves you and has a relationship with you. So you want to be pursuing God. You want to fall in love with Him. For me, I want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I want to love her. I want to treat her right. I want to raise my kids in the ways of the Lord. I want to be very intentional. By all means, I fail at that multiple occasions. I failed at it yesterday. I failed as we're getting coffee at my local office, and my son goes with me, and I'm trying to review the message, and I have my earbuds in, I'm focusing, he keeps, hey, dad, every 5 seconds, I'm going, you said you wanted to come here, drink coffee, listen to your music, play your video games. I'm trying to be intentional here. We're there for an hour or so, and we decide to leave, and I have my coffee, the nectar from heaven. Hey, I believe God will have coffee for me when I get there. Hey, my theology, I'm not saying this is Navigation Church's doctrine or theology, but it's my personal. So, we get ready to leave, and we get in the car. And of course, you have a place where you can sit your drinks, correct? I go to sit my drink there, and my son, for whatever reason, love him to death, is trying to open up the center console and put his Kindle there. His Kindle that he just got out in the last 8 hours that's been put away for 3 or 4 years. And he wants to make sure it's right there because I'm going to take him driving next. And he wants to make sure it's out of the way. And I'm putting my coffee where it's intended to be. And we both collide. And half my coffee goes on my lap and my seat. And I lost favor with the Lord at that minute. Being intentional. You know, one of my favorite quotes in one of my favorite movies, and it's not John Wayne, for those that are starting to go there, it's not John Wayne. It's Gladiator. Wow, you get some hoop and holler in there, Gladiator. Okay, then. But if you remember a part of it where he quotes this, and some of you probably already know, what you do in life echoes in eternity. What you do in life echoes in eternity. So you see, the word intentional is not just a cute buzzword or a cute idea, but I believe it's how God wants us to live and what he wants us to be intentional about. My idea and definition of intentional is this: the things we value are the things that we are intentional about. The things we value are what we are intentional about. So in your life right now, when you're thinking of your life, what do you hold in value? What do you place at the very top of your list? Is it your family? Is it your car? Is it your house? What is it? What can I look at in your checkbook? Now, most half of us don't even have a checkbook, do we? Or we never look at it. Sorry, it's me. Or half of us just use our phone. But if I looked at those things on what you spend your finances on, if you've been around church, you've heard this generic saying all the time, what's in your checkbook is what you spend, is what you value or you're intentional about or you live for. One day I did this. I don't know, I'm getting distracted this morning. It's been too many weeks since I've been up here. But one day I did this. One day I opened up my phone and I went to my coffee app. It's an app I put money on and I pay with it so I can get my rewards and get a free coffee. I think one coffee makes the difference to spend. Okay. And I went to my app and I went in and I wanted to go, you know, real, what am I spending every month? Really? And I went to the history and I began to go down through here. It's $1.06 here, $5.12 here, $2.85 here, $5.12, $3.58, $5.12, $20 I took and transferred money into my card on my phone, $15 here, $15 here, $10 here. And I began to go, man, I live in a world of being very intentional and drinking my coffee. Can I do the same to be intentional to love my neighbor? And it's an old word that it's convicting. Because do I place coffee more important to my God? I sure hope I don't. Let me look at a scripture. Maybe you can join me this morning if you have an app or you can follow along on the screen. But in Matthew chapter 20, verses 37 through 40, it says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So we looked at the beginning of the year. Pastor David took us through a phenomenal series on margins. Margins in our schedule, margins in our lives. And I began to look at my own life and how it lines up with living intentional to how it lines up with the margins I have in my life. And I hope you look at this scripture and go, I want to create margins and I want to be intentional in loving my God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. You go, this is the basic of basics. I think for some of us in church, or that have been loving God and serving God, sometimes we go, yeah, that's loving God, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You could just quote that and you can know it but verbatim and you can, at a moment, share that scripture. But truly, are we living by that? Are we truly loving God and loving people? A pastor I know several years ago that I met with on several occasions when I was getting ready to church plant. Pastor out of the Denver area. And I want to share a couple of his stories that he has because they line up so well with what we're talking about today. Talking about loving God, but loving people. So Jay starts out like this, that he was in a Midwest church, pastoring at a mega church. And one of the events that he planned was a concert. Maybe it was an event like sometimes we plan around here, whether it's an Easter event, a fall event, or a Night to Shine event. But he was planning a concert. He booked all the well-known bands, got some on the radio and got some radio time and passed out the flyers and the handouts and rented lights and smoke machines. And of course, he had to have lasers because what is a concert without lasers? Planned for a couple thousand of people, a couple thousand people that he was creating space for. And the night before the concert, he's going, he's just amped. He's ready to go. He's like, this thing is going to be huge. Okay, it didn't work. But shortly before the event was supposed to take place, he walked into the auditorium. And it's one of the pastor's worst nightmares. You hold and put all this money to it, and 25 people show up. 25 people in a room that's supposed to seat 2,000 people. So what does a good pastor do is he gets on the phone and starts calling everybody he knows to tell them to invite everybody they know, whoever it is, whoever they can get, to show up and be there. Bring people. Bring them right now. Get here ASAP. By the time the show started, a couple hundred people were there. And they were in there, and they had the concert, and it went on. And after the end of it, they decided to go and eat some food, because that's what you do in ministry after you're done with an event. So they went down to this local dive, and they came around the corner. They saw all these cars there. And so the pastor asked the waitress, "Why is this place so full? Why is it packed?" She goes, "We just started a new thing. A new thing every week that we meet on Thursdays. And a huge crowd just shows up." At that moment, he says, a light bulb went on in his head. Just 5 minutes away, the building where I was so deliberately, intentionally trying to gather a crowd had already gathered. Maybe he thought, maybe there's a way for us to go where the people are already, instead of trying to get people to come to us. What about going to them? It's common for us, churches to host big events, to put on. We're going to get really jazzed here real quick for Easter coming up. We hold a big outreach, big event, a big gathering just in the park to hand out eggs to a bunch of kids and love on a community and a region. I believe in that. And it's been an effective way for people to share their faith with friends, neighbors. But at this same time, there are many people around us who will never attend one of these events. They'll never come to an event. And they are your neighbors. And you have the opportunity to go out every day to say hi, to get to know them, to have a barbecue, to have a block party. Whatever you can do to be intentional on getting to know your neighbors. A British theologian said this: "The gospel does not become truth for a society by being propagated as a theory or as a worldview, and certainly not as a religion. It can become public truth only insofar as it is embodied in a society or the church, which is both abiding in Christ and engaged in the world." Abiding in our hearts and engaging in the world. Abiding in our hearts, gathering as a church, and engaging our neighbors, engaging our neighborhood. See, the first thing that we have to do, it's a simple invitation. Well, that's not much of a point, but it's a simple invitation. What would happen if we all did what Jesus said to do? What if all of us did exactly what we read this morning? To love our neighbor as ourselves. What do you think would begin to happen if all of us was doing that? If a community here at Navigation of 200 plus would do something like that? What if we actually knew our actual neighbor? Phenomenal thought. What if we actually knew who our neighbor was? You've heard this if you've been here. If not, let me share. 96% of people would come to church, or at least likely to attend, if they were just invited. The likelihood of you talking to your neighbor and inviting them here is very high that they would join you. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Just some of us can talk more than others. My friend, my colleague, Pastor David, one day I said, "You talk more than any man I know." Truth. But even if you can't, you can do something deliberately and on purpose and intentionally to love on a neighbor. It's easy to look at this verse and really see the brilliance of Jesus. But you can also see, by not being intentional and loving on your neighbor, of how it can hurt. Let me share a couple things. Now, imagine what it happens when we don't love those who live next door. One is this. They're in isolation. How many of us, we live lonely lives because we leave our house in the morning, we get in the garage, we get in the car, we pull out, heads down, we plow away, we come back, we pull in the garage, and that's our day. You know what? That's me sometimes. Where I'm done for the day. I want to block off all connections to everybody and go into my little home. We live lonely lives. We never get to know the people who God has placed right next to us. See, so many times we get in the, we're going to have the house, we're going to have the car, we're going to have the dog, and we're going to have the kids, and that's what it's about. And you're in the house, and you're never thinking about, did God place me at this place, in this home, in this apartment, for a purpose? You saw it as just getting a house or getting an apartment or raising your kids there. And God's looking at it as an opportunity, as a mission field for you. Sometimes we get scared of our neighbors. Or you try to do what I do and try to intentionally enforce codes and enforce rules that aren't there yet, but I don't like something about what a neighbor's doing, or somebody cruising through from the back property through the road and hammering it down the road when we got kids playing in the road. I could be a little more intentional on loving that individual. Or there's this, there's a misunderstanding. We don't know our neighbors. It's easy to get the wrong idea about our neighbors. Think of this. A friend of ours had a neighbor whose house was run down. The garage door was falling in off the hinges. Two cars sit in the front yard that hadn't been moved in years, in days, in months. So he did what I would do and called code enforcement. And officials came by and ticketed the house. A few days later, talking to another neighbor about the home that was just so looked so bad. And start talking to the neighbor. I guess the woman who lives in that home right there, her mother has cancer. She had to stop working to take care of her mom. She's been by her mom's side 24 hours a day. As you can imagine, how horrible the friend felt once he got the whole story. Why I say that is because so many times we don't understand what's going on in someone's life next door, someone's life on the road, someone's life at McDonald's, someone's life at your work, someone's life this morning as you start to have a conversation and you realize they're going through a hard time right now. Without talking to them, without being intentional to them, you never know, and there's a misunderstanding, and you're never going to love them and lead them towards Christ. Throughout the Bible, God tells us to love our neighbors. To love our neighbors. We go, of course you do that. To love Jesus. Of course, we're in church. That's what we all do. That's what you're doing. God invites us to love the way he loves. God invites us to love the way he does. How many times do I forget that because I am not intentional with my time? And so I rush, I get upset, I get impatient. Well, the other day, God intervened and gave me a break, and I had to listen to this one. So we get up on a normal weekday morning. Kids are getting ready, and they're getting ready for school, and my wife's getting ready to get out the door for work. But this morning, she's actually going in late, so we're going to take the kids to school together. And as we're doing that, we get out the door, 7:35. We're running a little bit behind, and we're cruising down Vandalia very quickly as our fabulous Collinsville PD was coming the opposite direction. And I must have been leading the cars behind me in this endeavor because he did a U-ey right there at the lights by Motomart and Shop and Save and quickly turned his lights on. And I pull over. And he comes up to the side of the door and is smiling, actually. I think why he's smiling is because my daughter in the back seat is laughing hysterically. And all my family is joining in on this. As I do what I've learned from my police officer friends, I put my hands on the wheel and I just kept them there. And he came up, he goes, I understand, you know, the flow of traffic and going quickly down the road. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, you go right into that mode. If it was a woman, it was yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And he says, sir, I'm not going to give you a ticket. You know how that is. Like, okay, thank you. I got enough of those. You know how funny that is? 2 years ago, we went to Iowa to see some friends. And as we're traveling there, the photo camera, you don't know where it's at. You're not from that city. Captures me going really fast to their house. And then it captures me going really fast coming from their house. And I get in my mail 2 pictures of my automobile. I should have just been waving and saying hello. There it is. But the invitation to someone. God invites us to love the way he loves. The implications of an invitation. You know, God always reminds me, as he did this past week, to be flexible. I'm tested daily because I think God continually reminds me to create space in my life, to make an impact with my life. The Good Samaritan, if you read the story of the Good Samaritan story in the book of Luke, and you can read about this for yourselves, but I will read it to you. It says, one day an expert in the law decided he wanted to test Jesus. So the man asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Now we imagine this guy that's expert in the law was a guy just like most of us. He preferred to hang out with people he liked, right? Undoubtedly, he crammed his day full of activities, like myself, I'm not talking about you, and didn't want to hang out with anybody else. But Jesus turned the question back on the lawyer, making the lawyer answer his own question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Jesus asked him. The expert in the law replied, love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He knew the Bible well. He gave the right answer. Great, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. But the text goes on to give us a great insight into this man's motivation. And I don't know for you, I always refer to the first portion of that. And I don't remember the last portion. And it says, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Notice he wanted to justify himself. He wanted to define the word neighbor in such a way that he could not be found blameworthy. Think of that. If his neighbor was someone he could choose, that it would be okay. He was looking for that loophole. Think about it. Are we also trying to find a loophole in what Jesus said is the most important thing for us? Me. Try to make excuses, point out inconsistencies, and rationalize the clear teachings of who Jesus is. So the Lord says, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? It goes on in Luke. If you looked in Luke and read this full portion, it talks about two religious leaders that passed by a guy on the side of the road that needs some help. These two had things that they were doing, schedules to keep, agendas that couldn't be flexed. But along came a third guy, a Samaritan, stopped and helped. He was from a culture for hating Israelites, and the feeling was mutual. So people, just two people that typically hate each other. In the ears of Jesus' listeners, it would be the modern-day equivalent of a terrorist stopping to help, bandage him up, took him to an end, paid his medical bills. How's that for adjusting your schedule? Jesus' point was clearly the Samaritan was the true neighbor. So when you're thinking about who is your neighbor, do you know your neighbor? Are you intentionally getting to know your neighbors? If we aren't careful, we turn this into a metaphor. Like, we're supposed to reach the world. We're supposed to reach the region. The church is to do this. I give to this to do. We tell ourselves, we can't be expected. Really, Pastor, Jesus, we can't be expected to really love everybody. Can we? The problem is when we aim for everything, we hit nothing. When we aim at nothing, we'll never hit it. So I encourage today that we begin to look just who lives next to you. I know London lives next door to us. I know where she works. I also know that this year, look at me. So I know this year, as we move in and it's warming up and it's getting warm out, and that my son is going to be intentionally mowing her yard. Well, I'm not mowing it. I'm not even mowing mine. I thought that's why I had a 15-year-old son. Ain't that right? Okay. See, I have the backing of the church. But look at the loophole, like the lawyer had in Luke 10. We tell ourselves we have a lot going on in our lives. We're so busy. And surely the greatest commandment applies only to the ones that are really hurting, only to the wounded on the side of the road. And since we haven't come across any people like that, we're doing okay. We're doing all right. Wrap this up with a few points. So to be intentional to our neighbors, it starts in our heart. We develop flexibility and compassion. How do you develop flexibility and compassion? Is that you go to the Lord, you read his word, you pray, you find a good church, and you keep pouring in. You keep pouring in, letting God pour in so that you can pour out. Otherwise, you find yourself burnt out and not being flexible and not being compassionate. I'll be honest. I'll tell you right now that in the last month with my nav group, I've been checking my heart every week, because you just get to a point sometimes I'm like, I pour out to people all day and I come home and I'm done. And I've been reminded every week to check myself. As an old friend of mine used to say, check myself before I wreck myself. Often we are moving too fast to notice those that are right around us. Adjust our schedule. Accommodate the need. It might be as simple as grilling outside, inviting them over for burgers. It can also go past the neighborhood. I can also go, my daughter plays volleyball. How can I invite the whole volleyball team at the end of the season just come and have burgers at my house? It doesn't have to be just here in a pulpit. We can begin by noticing our neighbors. We need to apply Jesus' teaching to our literal neighbors, real people with real names that have real phone numbers and addresses. I got one thing as I'm going to call the ushers forward. As they come out, we have some sheets that I just want to get into your hands this morning. So they're going to come forward and they're going to hand you one of these. We have pens under the seats in front of you. If you need a pen, they will have a pen. But do you know your neighbor? So when you get this handout, you can see that you are here. There's four homes. You're going to write some information down there. I hope that you feel the burn a little bit. I know some people in the room that are working out. I quit that. You feel the burn. Okay, I'm done. Cookie. Oreo. You're going to take these. And on just the line one, do you know four neighbors? Do you know their names? You're going to write their name down. Do you know some relevant information about each person? Something. You know where they work. Do you know anything about their family? Third, you're going to write some in-depth information you would know after connecting with people. Career, dreams, their passions, their heart. So as you get one of these this morning, did we pass these out yet? Yeah, go ahead, guys. Yeah. So you're each going to receive one of these as the guys move down through you, through the aisles. They hand these out. So what does this mean? Jesus said to love our neighbors. His teachings can extend to all the world as well, not just your neighbor, but I'm trying to help you this year as our vision and goal is that each one reach one. Each one of you reach one. And that means reach somebody you really actually care about that individual. See, years ago, it's not just that it's salvation, you mark it down. Or I got my friend to church, you mark it down, that's it. I'm actually saying invite them into your home. Care for your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Pour into them. Be there. Watch the favorite game of the week with them. Invite them over to watch your favorite basketball team, your favorite college team. Think about it. Some of you go, well, I've reached my neighbors. Awesome. They go, who is at my work? Who is involved in my kids' lives? Their soccer team, their volleyball team. And you begin to broaden that. But also, really, it does mean our actual neighbors, the people who live next door. So are you doing this today? Are we loving our neighbors? Does this exercise reveal about our neighbors as a lack of investing into our neighbors, a lack of knowing them, or does it show us that we are being intentional in reaching your neighbors? And I'm not saying to do this to feel guilty, to feel hurt, but to feel a little bit of, oh, I don't. No, I haven't been. I need to check myself this week. The people right next door, simply start to go to know the people. Would we all agree there are dozens of obstacles sometimes in the way, some real, some imagined, that keep us from getting to know even one. But I'm encouraging you to get outside of that and get to know one neighbor. Let me pray.